This is exactly what we're talking about today. Listen to this. For you and your life, this is the truth that I want you to write down. Obstacles are everywhere, but my response writes the story. If you're new here, there's a sheet of paper under the chair in front of you. If you haven't found it yet, it's under the chair in front of you. You can write this down, help you to learn it. Obstacles are everywhere, but my response writes the story. Will you all say this with me so we can get it in our brain? Obstacles are everywhere, but my response writes the story. There's obstacles everywhere. I wanted to be a basketball player when I was a kid, and then I broke my arm really bad. I still can't even touch my shoulder, and that took me out from playing basketball for years and years. When I became a parent myself, I was playing on some huge rocks with my kids. One of the rocks tumbled. I fell down. I broke this rib, so no more playing on those rocks for a long time. That next summer, I was wakeboarding or kneeboarding behind the boat. I tried to jump the wake, crashed. I broke my rib again. No more wakeboarding for that summer. When we were doing this church building, those stairs right there, some of you know, broke my right ankle. It's just like obstacle, obstacle, obstacle. It's all on my right side too. That's weird, huh? Maybe I have a balance problem. That's just another obstacle, okay? So there's just obstacles everywhere. And I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. I know that you face obstacles too. It might be a physical problem. It might be diabetes or cancer or broken bone. It could be a mental problem, depression, anxiety. It could be things like finances, your spirituality, your job, priorities, or an addiction that you're facing. There are obstacles that get in the way of who you want to be and what you want to do with your life. And you want healing. You want wholeness and completeness. And I cannot overstate this. Your response will write the story of what happens to you after you face an obstacle. Today, we're back in the book of Mark after taking a break for quite a while. And in this story, we're going to see a mother who had a daughter who was demon-possessed. Talk about an obstacle in her life. She didn't know what to do. So we're going to study her and watch what she does. And it's an example for you and me, because if you do this and you get this today, you might find actual healing and gain victory over your obstacle. At the very least, you're going to find a better path forward, even if your obstacle never goes away. But if you ignore this, that struggle and the path you're on might never get better. So please grab your Bible, chair in front of you, open it up to page 819. That's, if you're using one of these Bibles, that's where you're going to find that page. This is the book of Mark. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, it's actually pretty simple. So once you get to that page number, you find the big chapter 7, the big 7. Chapter numbers are big. Verse numbers are little. So you can find that big 7, and then you're going to try to find the little 24. It's a few columns over. And that's what we're going to read today. So Jesus left for that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know, but he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child laying on the bed and the demon gone. Short little story there. This is a true story about how Jesus handled this situation. We're going to examine this verse by verse. So let's look at the very first verse that we have there. This is verse 24. It says, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house, did not want anyone to know it. All right? He's like trying to keep himself secret here. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. So he's trying to be quiet about it. He doesn't want anyone to know where he's at. Why? We just back up. This is chapter 7. Back up to chapter 6, we find this out. So many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. So this is talking about Jesus and his disciples. This is our little horn of busyness here. So, and it doesn't, there we go. All right. So Jesus is healing people. There's people coming to him. He's trying to share a message. He's feeding 5,000. He's raising people from the dead. He's fulfilling prophecy. And crowds and crowds and crowds are all around him. And they won't leave him alone. This dude's nonstop. even to the point of not being able to eat. And so what does the verse say? He left that place. And he goes to Tyre. Why Tyre? What's in Tyre? Tyre is outside of Israel. It's not in the same country anymore. Have you ever been so annoyed by someone? You're like, I gotta go to Canada. like so busy. You're like, I gotta go to the 51st state and leave this place that I'm in right now. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that about our maple syrup friends. But Jesus, he's going to this place where no one knows him, but apparently they do know him. Because he sneaks away, he sneaks into this house, and then what happens? As soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. So Jesus is tired, but this lady's got an obstacle. Would you say obstacle? She's got an obstacle. One more time. She's got an obstacle. You might even call it a crisis. Her daughter's possessed by an impure spirit. That's just one way of saying demon possessed. Would it be fair to say that whatever obstacle your faith's seen, they don't get much worse than your child being possessed by a demon? I mean, that's next level stuff there. There are stories in the Bible about kids who are demon possessed who got thrown into fires. The demon would try to kill them. Like, this is about as bad as you could possibly imagine. During last service, someone, you can send in questions to ask at rev.church. Someone said, how did the children become possessed? If a child was tossed into fire by demon, did the child go to heaven? And there's really two different questions here. How does a child become possessed? Well, it's not talking about an infant here. We know from scripture that if an infant dies, it goes to heaven. You know, David was a prophet in the Bible, King David. And when his infant child died, he said, I will go to him, but he will not return to me. So we know babies go to heaven to be with the Lord. How did a child become possessed? It says elsewhere in the Bible that one reason you and your spouse should follow Jesus, because if you are following Christ, then your children are righteous. That doesn't mean like they get some like special magic on them. What that means is you're going to lead in a certain way and they're going to follow. They become followers of Jesus and followers of right instead of wrong because of how you led them. So the people from Tyre, these are Canaanite, these are like wicked people. They would sacrifice their children, burn them in the fire. They would kill their children as an offering to a satanic god, like wicked people. And so this child probably became demon-possessed as this lady was participating in. I'm not going to talk about what they did. I'll talk about stuff that we do because you're familiar with the terms. She was probably participating in Ouija boards and seances and astrology and things like that. And so she's like looking at the stars to get her answers and doing tarot cards. And so she's participating in this. So she's inviting demonic presence into her house. And her child participates in it too. And so this child likely becomes demon possessed through the mother's influence, through these wicked people's lives. So let's write this down now. The woman faces one of the worst obstacles ever. Her daughter is possessed by a demon. Not only the child's health and sanity, but the child's life is in the balance. So what happens is she now hears about this Jesus guy. He's the Messiah of the Jews, supposedly. He's done miracles and healings, and she's probably heard how he drove out demons before. And so she thinks, maybe, you know, I heard he's at Bob's house. And so she runs to Bob's house. Why? Because there's a solution to her obstacle there. And when you find a solution to the obstacle, well, she fell at his feet. She's like, I need you. The woman was Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. Okay, she's Canaanite. We're going to talk about that. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. So let's write this down. The woman found a solution to her obstacle, and that was Jesus Christ. So she doesn't care how busy Jesus is. She immediately goes to him. I notice that she fell at his feet. Why is this important? It's a sign of respect, a sign of desperation. Only the lowliest of the low would get down and clean the feet of someone else. Disciples would often sit at the feet of their teachers. And so this woman coming down to fall at the feet of Jesus is saying, this is not an accident, okay? This is on purpose. She's saying, you're the one. I'm nobody. And I need your help. Because if you have a solution to your obstacle, you grab it. You hear me? If you got an obstacle in front of you and you know a way to solve it, you take it. And she saw Jesus, and this was the way to heal her daughter. So she grabbed onto Jesus. She falls at his feet. The same story is related in the book of Matthew, just with some different details. A Canaanite woman, just, you know, so the other one said she's Phoenician. You're Kansan, but you're also American, right? So she's Phoenician. She's also Canaanite. From that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." So she calls Jesus Lord. She calls Jesus Son of David. Remember, he's not in Israel anymore. She's a Canaanite. Why does the Bible point this out? Because the Canaanites historically were the group of people that oppressed and hated Israel. They were the ones who stood between Israel and the promised land. They would fight wars against them. They burned their children in fire to worship false gods. They fought wars against Israel. God even said at one point in time, destroy them. These people didn't respect the Jewish God. They hated the Jewish God. This is why God wanted them annihilated. Let's go ahead and write this down. Being a Canaanite in the presence of Jesus was another obstacle for her. Her people were Jesus's and Israel's enemy. So what does she do? Does she give up? Does she quit? No. When you find a solution to your obstacle, and she had found the healer for her daughter, she goes to Jesus. She abandons her old life. No Canaanite, no real Canaanite would actually say Lord to a Jewish Messiah. No Canaanite would refer to Jesus by the prophecies, you're the son of David, but she did. What did that mean? It absolutely means this. This Canaanite woman left her old life to follow Jesus. Sometimes it takes a crisis for people to choose to follow God. When I was in California, I was witnessing to a buddy of mine. He didn't follow Jesus. And I talked to him and talked to him. And like over a year's time, I've talked to him so many times. I finally said, man, I think you know this is true. Why aren't you following Jesus? And he goes, yeah, you know what? It is true. I can't deny it anymore. I'm like, good. He goes, but I don't really want to live like that. I was like, what? He goes, I'll probably have to like get in a car wreck or almost die or something before I turn my life around. He didn't want to leave his old life. Please don't be that guy. This lady's kid had to be wounded and demon-possessed before she turned her life around. Don't let yourself or your children go through hell before you surrender to Jesus. Don't do that. Or maybe for some of you, I should say, don't put them through more hell. Don't let yourself go through more hell before you finally surrender your life to Jesus. This lady finally comes to Jesus. She's like, I can't deal with this. I don't know what else to do. So she comes to the Jewish Messiah. And here's Jesus' response to her. This is crazy. He says, first, let the children are the Jewish people, eat all they want. For it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. He was calling her dog. Whoa. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. I want you to imagine for a moment, you come to Jesus. You see Jesus face to face. You come to him and say, Jesus, please help me. And he looks, he goes, no. What would you do? I mean, most people would be like, okay, you're God. You know best. I guess I got to do. No, what does this woman do? Jesus says no. And she's like, I'm sorry, that's not good enough. Let's write this down. This woman was persistent. Despite her obstacles, she didn't give up. She says to Jesus, your answer isn't good enough. Jesus is tired. She's his enemy. He doesn't want to hear it. And she don't care. She's got a daughter who needs healing. And so, you know, Jesus says, first let the children eat all they want. It's not right to toss the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs. She's like not arguing about whether she's a dog or not. She's like, yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. Let's write this down. She didn't persist. She didn't just persist. She persisted in pursuing Jesus. This was the thing, right? She's coming to Jesus and she's not stopping. She wants Jesus. She didn't want to just solve the problem. She wants Jesus to deal with it. He was Lord. She'd already called him Lord. He was Savior. He's the healer. He's the one who fixes this. So she abandons her old life to follow Christ's ways. You know, it's funny because Jesus calls her a dog, and theologians and people, like, we debate about the weirdest things, right? There's a lot of theologians who debate, when Jesus called her a dog, was he referring to her or her people, the Canaanites? And what kind of dog was it? Was it a house dog, like your pet? Or was it like a wild dog, like a gross, disgusting animal? You know, those are real debates that people have. And I don't care. Because we all know what his answer wasn't. good. It wasn't a good answer. If you come to Jesus and say, please heal my child, and he says no, that's not the answer you're looking for, right? That's frightening. Listen, think about this. Satan was against her because her daughter was possessed, and now Jesus is against her. I'm sure you've asked God to do something before, and he wasn't answering. You feel like there's this obstacle. There's no way to fix it. You don't know what to do, and God's not listening. But she knows what to do. She asks again. She asks again. Listen, her response is going to write the story. This is important. This time, I'm gonna give some reasoning to this. So she comes to him. She's arguing about why this is important. What I am saying is that her response writes the story. Now, as I was writing the sermon, I was just telling you this little tidbit. I thought to myself, maybe I shouldn't say that. Her response writes the story. Most Christians would want me to say, God writes the story, right? That's what most Christians would want you to say. But then I thought about it. I'm like, no. Here's the deal. God's response is far more predictable than our response because God is always merciful to those who ask eventually. Would you agree with that? God has always been merciful to anyone who asks eventually. He is so predictable in that way. Who's the unpredictable party? You and me, bro. We're the ones who we don't know if we're going to keep persisting and keep doing right and keep following God, if we're going to walk away or give up. So that's why I say her response is writing the story, because Jesus was there the whole time. He's got a reason why he said no. But when she said, Lord, do you see this, right? Lord, she's saying, you're supreme authority. Sometimes in Greek, that can mean sir, but she actually meant it as you are the supreme authority. How do we know that? Because in the book of Matthew, Jesus actually says to her, you have great faith. Since Jesus is always right, we know that he was right about that. She had powerful faith in Jesus as Lord. She calls him Son of David, which is a reference to the prophecies about the Jewish Messiah. So she's saying, you're my Lord, you're the Messiah, I need you, and I'm not gonna quit. This is important. You have to see Jesus the right way. She's going to Jesus because Jesus is, number one, he's the Lord. So he has all the authority to remove your obstacles. But not only does he have authority, Jesus is God on earth. He is the authority. That's a little different, isn't it? Jesus isn't just delegated authority. He is the authority, and he's also a healer. He has the heart to heal. He cares about people. He cares about you and your obstacles, all right? This is the next verse. He told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Let's write this down. Through all of that, she experienced healing for her child. God blew the obstacle up. Can you imagine when she gets home? The last time she saw her daughter was in pain, writhing, twisted, maybe burnt up and agony and screaming. So she goes to Jesus and Jesus says, your daughter's healed. No more demon. So she runs home. She arrives at the door. She's about to open. She takes a breath. What is she going to find on the other side? She walks through the door. She looks around and then she sees her daughter lying on the bed, maybe reading a book, and there's no pain. And her daughter looks up at her and says, hi, Mom. And she falls on her knees crying. And her daughter says, Mom, what's wrong? For the first time in a long time, she says, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. Because Jesus did the healing. But her response wrote that story. Jesus always wants to heal, and her persistence, her response writes the story. Your response will write your story. Do you know what I noticed here? The way she responded to Jesus, the obstacles in her path, it was actually a pattern you see in the Bible over and over and over again. You can write this down on your outlines. This is something we see in so many people's lives. So first of all, an obstacle arises. Then after the obstacle, a solution arises. And then action is taken and the old life is left. That's important. Persistence in pursuing God is chosen next. And then healing is experienced. Okay, so this seems complicated. There's five stages here. But I want you to see this because this happens in scripture over and over and over. So the Canaanite woman faces an obstacle. What was the obstacle? Right. Daughter's demon-possessed, right? She sees a solution. The solution was Jesus, right? Jesus can heal her. So she takes an action and she goes, throws herself at Jesus' feet, but importantly, she also leaves her old life. Okay, so she leaves her old life, she throws herself at the feet of Jesus. But then Jesus says, no. So what does she have to do? She has to have persistence in pursuing God. That's what she chooses. So she chooses to be persistent. No, you can heal. And then after that, then her daughter is healed. This is all over the Bible. I had to make the sermon shorter, but I had this whole thing about Rahab, if you know who that is. And like Moses, you know, Moses saw that his people were in slavery, right? He was an Egyptian royalty, but he's really a Jew, and he saw the Jews in slavery. So a solution arises. God says to Moses, tell Pharaoh to let the people go. So Moses goes, and he says, let God's people go. And he chooses to become like Jewish people instead of live with Pharaoh anymore. He leaves his old life. But then what happens? Pharaoh says, no. And Moses has to persist. 10 times he has to obey God and go back. And finally, they're free. You see this all over the Bible with this lady and Moses and Rahab and the apostles, Jonah, Joshua, and in your life. This is important stuff. So the bad news is, you're going to go through all these stages, and the first one is an obstacle is going to arise in your life. So let's write this down. Reality, I will face enormous obstacles throughout my life. This is just part of being human, man. It might be that you don't get the college you want. It might be that your spouse is cheating on you or that you cheated. It could be the temptation to relapse or even losing a job that you wanted. But you're going to face an obstacle. And then what happens? A solution will present itself, meaning God will show up somehow. God can show up with a job you need. God show up with healing. I remember one time I invited someone over to my place, someone I should not have invited over. You follow me so far? It was a bad idea. I knew it when I did it. I shouldn't have invited this person over. And then they start coming to my place. I'm like, all right, they're almost here. And I'm watching out the door. And you know what God does? They go to the wrong house. I see them knock on the neighbor's door. What happened there? God showed up and gave me a solution. He gave me a moment to go, you know what? I'm not going to hang out with this person. Solutions come in all kinds of packages, but a solution will rise up. And at that moment, what's the most important thing for you to do? To take action and leave your old life. You've got to do it. Let's write this next one down. I need to take action for good while also leaving my old life. God will provide. You got to do both of these things. I'm going to number it like 1 and 2, but it's really the same step because you can't say, I'm going to take action for good and not leave the other stuff. You got to leave the past behind while walking and doing what God wants. Moses left Egypt to be with God's people in the desert. You can't do both. This woman confessed Jesus as Lord instead of following the Canaanite gods. Maybe your issue is, I don't know, here's a whole big long list of issues. You know, we got, maybe you're an addict. You got porn or drugs or alcohol. And so maybe you've had this massive crisis and you want to tackle it before it comes to losing your family. So you say, okay, God, I see Revolution has this Thursday night group. By the way, we do. It's Thursday nights at what time is that? 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, right in the room across from here. People get in there, we talk about recovery. Doesn't matter whether it's drugs, alcohol, porn. Like, this might be the way you leave the old life. If that's the obstacle, this is the solution that God might be giving you. Maybe you need to confess your sin to someone. Maybe you need to end a friendship or start a friendship. You know, it says in the Bible, Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. We actually quote the first part of this verse quite a bit, don't we? We don't usually quote the last half, but the last half's pretty good too, isn't it? You walk with the wise and become wise. Yeah. But you hang out with your dang old stupid friends, you're going to be stupid too. That's the Jeff Peebo translation, all right? And your response will write your story. You want to hang out with those same old dummies? You're writing your story. They've been dragging you down, or maybe they're not dragging you down, but they're just helping you stay where you're at. Maybe you need to start a friendship with the right kind of people. So my daughter, Jaden, recently turned 17, and she kept telling my wife and I, before I turn 17, I need to run a marathon, a full marathon. So we're like, okay. We got some friends, Tyler and Lydia, and they both run marathons. And so we talked to them about going, and my wife and Lydia both decide, okay, we're going to go down to this Texas area and we're going to run a half marathon. And then Tyler's all, he runs marathons too. And my daughter, Jaden, and her friend, Addie, we all went down. They were going to run the full marathon. So there's like four people running the marathons, and Tyler's also encouraging and running stuff. And I'm going down with them. And I'm like, let's go. If you don't know me, I'm not a runner, okay? I've never been a runner. Even when I was in peak physical shape last week, I could... You laughed a lot louder at that than I anticipated. Okay, even when I was in peak physical shape at one point in my life, and I could swim miles and still not even be out of breath, like I just wasn't a fast runner. I just never enjoyed running. Now at 46, like I got stuff on my feet, like on the bottoms of my feet, on the side, that it causes pain just to even walk around for a while. I just don't enjoy running at all. But as I'm watching them train, they're like, come on, run a mile with me. And I'm like, nah. Maybe, nah. And then after the marathon, they're all happy. They're taking ice baths. They're like, whoa, this is crazy. And I'm like, I wish I could do that. But I start thinking, maybe I should start running too. Why am I thinking about doing the thing that I hate and suck at? Because my friends are doing it. The people you spend your time with, that's how you write your story. Moses left Egypt and found a different family. Some of you need to find different friends who can support your pursuit of God. And when you pursue God, what's going to happen? More obstacles are going to show up, and you need to be persistent again. Let's write this one down. Reality: I must persist in pursuing God because obstacles will pop up to distract me. You got to persist. You cannot quit. If you would, when you fill it out, circle the word will. It's like a promise. Obstacles will pop up as you try to do the right thing. We have this phrase we use around here talking about prayer. Consistence and persistence brings God's assistance. Totally true. If you're asking God for help, you got to be consistent. You got to ask him every day. You got to be persistent. Always pray. Don't give up. But this is also true for getting over the obstacles that your life faces. When an obstacle gets in your way, you know, it's go, oh, I thought it was going to be easy. Oh, it's not easy. Oh, forget it. Like, no, man. You try to get around that obstacle and another one hits you. Be like, you know what? I'm going to Jesus with this one too. You keep persisting. Let's say that you're lonely. Obstacle. So you see, we have growth groups. Solution. So you join a growth group. You leave your old life of like just Netflix every night, and you join a growth group. What's going to happen? You're going to go to a growth group, and even though you're a weirdo, you're going to accidentally join a growth group of normal people. And they're going to be like, let's talk about the stock market. You're like, I wanted to talk about Pikachu. I'm judging you, okay? It's all right. No, I'm just joking. But like you're gonna join a group, and it's gonna be like different than you expected, and what are you gonna do? You gotta persist in pursuing God. In other words, you gotta either learn about the stock market or join a group of people who like Pikachu. Like one or the other. But what you don't do is you just quit and walk away. I gotta be clear on this though. When I'm talking about persisting in good, I'm not just saying do good things. I'm talking about persisting in things that get you closer to Jesus. You understand this? Persist in things that get you closer to Jesus, because he's the one who provides the healing. So here's what you have to do practically. Number one. Oh, yeah, that sign. No, okay, it's not on the board. I'm confused with my boards. All right, number one, to persist, I must surrender my life to God. Some of you here know you have faced obstacles, and you know you have not given them to God, and now today you're realizing, I need to do that. So you need to surrender your life. Some of you have believed in God, but you've never actually surrendered and said, okay, God, you can have me, all of me. I'm like the Canaanite woman who's leaving the Canaanites, and I'm following Jesus. I mean, think about this. If some great prophet came to you and said, to find healing in your life, go on this great journey, you'd probably be like, yes, I will do that. Great journey. I will climb Mount Everest. God's not asking you to do that. He's just asking you to believe and obey him. So why not? the red cards in the chair in front of you, those are serious things, man. On the back of it, it says, I'm ready to get baptized, just like these people did today. Some of you know you need to follow Jesus because you've never surrendered, but you want the healing. It's time to surrender today. Here's the second thing. We should read books and we should read the Bible. This is how we stay focused. These are some of the books I suggested to you last week on Easter. These were all books about heaven or the next life. Don't read the book like Heaven is for Real. We actually have a book list at rev.church/recommended books. So you can go to that website. We just updated the list this week. There's over 140 books on that list. If you read all 140 books, I will buy you a Snickers. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I wouldn't believe you. But they're all really good books, okay? So read as many as you can. Why do we do that? Why do we read books like that? Because when you read books, you're focused and you're persisting in pursuing God. No matter what comes your way, you need to know God. Listen, the Canaanite woman who got healing for her daughter, she didn't experience healing because she was strong. She experienced healing because she knew the one who was strong. And the world will tell you, you got to get strength inside of you. You're good enough to heal. But the reality is, you don't have the strength inside of you until the God who's outside of you gets inside of you. And then the strength is inside of you. But he has to be the one you put your faith in. You've got to trust him through every obstacle that comes your way. You've got to pursue him no matter what. Read the books. Study his word. Find out more about him. And then the third thing to do, the right community around me truly helps me persevere in God. You got to get the right people around you. We'll throw that back up in a second so you can write it down. But Ecclesiastes 4 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. It's a good verse, isn't it? You are hardwired to need other people, but you need the right people. So here's what I'm gonna say, you are hardwired to need people. Then you're gonna tell me, but I need the right people, okay? Listen, you're hardwired to need people. That's right, you do. A friend who won't call you out on your stupidity is not a good person. A friend who will invite you to sin with them is not the right friend. When the Canaanite woman left her tribe, she became a follower of Jesus. If you wanna run marathons, you can't be friends with fat, lazy keyboard warriors. You gotta find people who are what you want to be. Let me look and see if there's questions really quick before I finish this out. Someone says, healing isn't always experienced in this life. Yeah, you know, like I said at the beginning, some of you might never have that obstacle removed, but when you're pursuing Jesus Christ, the pursuit of Jesus changes how you see the obstacle anyway. I know followers of Jesus who have looked death in the eyes and haven't been as upset as a pagan who stubbed their toe. Because when you know Jesus and pursue him, you have a different kind of hope, a different way of seeing things that are in your way. So that's why it's important, no matter what. Someone says, what if I'm the idiot that people are hanging out with? Raise your hand if you've ever been the idiots. Okay, woo, we can change, people. There is hope. All right, I have been, ooh, yeah. So Jesus is flipping the old Tyre Sidon curse by healing the Canaanite's daughter there. Was that him previewing the future Gentile mission? I don't know who sent this question in, but I'm gonna kiss you. All right. On the cheek, I'm married. But like, yes. Next week, we're actually going to continue, and you're going to see Jesus sent do another miracle in another Gentile region, and it's actually foreshadowing how salvation isn't just for the Jews, it's actually for the Gentiles too. So yeah, this and next week, you're ruining my sermon for next week, so that's okay, whatever. When he asked what was in Tyre, did anybody else say air in their head? Man, some of these people. Let's see, some people are saying that they think they could read 140 books. they must not go to Revo if they found a growth group of normal people. Okay. All right. That's probably pretty accurate. Untold layer of this is the belittlement and chastising she must have faced from the people around her in her life. Man, that is so true. You know, before she came to Jesus, she probably had people making fun of her and being hard on her because her daughter was demon-possessed. Even though those are the very people that got her into trouble, they were probably trash-talking her now. You ever been in that situation where someone who helped get you into the trouble is laughing at you for being in trouble? That's probably her life. And then when she went and followed Jesus and her daughter got healed, they were probably making fun of her following Jesus. But you know what she could do? She could point at her daughter and say, yeah, but she's healed. And some of you get made fun of for following Jesus, but you know what you can do? You can say, yeah, but if you knew me before and you know me now, you can make fun of me all you want, but you've seen the difference. You've seen the difference. All right, let's wrap this up. So if you do these things that we talked about and you pursue this, some of you walked in here today like the Canaanite woman, hopeless and hurting. But the same Jesus who healed her is here today. And he has the power to fix your obstacle. He has the power to heal you internally. And he wants to do more than fix one thing. He wants to transform your entire life. So are you going to respond the way you need to respond by pursuing Jesus? Because your response writes this story. Jesus is predictable. You turn your life to him, he's going to save you. But your response writes this story. On your outline, you now have a lot of practical applications. So what's your move now? Are you going to follow him? Going to give your life to him? Let's pray. God, you are the remover of obstacles. You are the healer. And there's people who need healing today. In the name of Jesus, bring it to us as we pursue you. And I pray that the people here today who know that they need to go to the next level with you would do so. They would make that choice. In Jesus' name, amen. Go pursue him.